2014 today. We appreciate everyone being here. And as we go through our agenda, if you'd like to speak on any particular agenda item, you may certainly do that. Just raise your hand, and so we'll notice you. And then just come up over this here and give us your name. And if you could keep your conversation or your comments to 5 minutes, we'd appreciate that as well. We understand sometimes you can't, but if you can, we appreciate that. We'll begin our meeting tonight with council prayer and then Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
Almighty God, who's given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitudes brought here out of many different lands and tongues. Endow with the spirit of wisdom those to whom in thy name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to thy law we may show forth thy praise among the nations of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in a day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee to fail. All which we ask in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of business this evening is the consideration of the minutes from the work session of April 1st and April 24th, 2014, and the regular meeting of April 28th, 2014. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt the minutes from the previous meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. In my particular case, and I've been working with the city manager and everybody, we still have some very open discussions on the storm pickup, and as we just finished discussion in there about how the FEMA money is going to be paid. So right now, I can't support the minutes till we get everything straightened out on the storm. And Mr. Pierce is working on that, and he's getting his first submittal. So once we do that, I can. But right now, there's just too many open questions for me.
Okay, sir. All right. Any other discussion?
Well, the minutes reflect what was discussed, not necessarily provide a solution to some of the issues that we discussed. So I'm not sure.
Yes, but the minutes make statements in there about what we can do and not do sometimes. And I just... some of those I disagree with, or I want to see the whole picture at one time. That's just my own personal feeling.
What the discussion said, you know, perhaps now is the time, if you want to correct the minutes, is to actually highlight some of those disagreements that you have, so it will be in a record. Otherwise, the minutes just basically reflect the discussion we had.
I don't disagree with your statement. But none of us know some of the answers yet.
What the minutes reflect.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. That's my own personal feeling.
Okay.
And if I could, Mr. Mayor, just for purposes of having a complete record, there was some reference to a kickoff meeting and invitations and council involvement. Again, we did bring the SCEMD FEMA representatives to council at the same meeting where we had nonprofits present for a question and answer session. I think it reflects that. And by way of information for council, we anticipate completing our application for reimbursement for our first 30 days worth of expenses under the pilot program. And once that's finalized, FEMA's preparing the document for signature, and we should have that, we would anticipate, within the next couple of weeks. And we will certainly make that available to council for review, and that might have some of the information, Mr. Edmund, I believe you have questions about.
I'm just looking for the total picture, and Mr. Pierce and I have discussed it quite a bit.
And I too have some concerns about the minutes. There's things that I expected to see the FOIA information. So it's not the end of the world if one or two of us don't vote to approve the minutes.
And the FOIA materials were made available at the link that we provided council and sent that information out.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show hands, please.
For approval.
Passes 5-2.
Opposed 2.
Thank you. Under presentations, we have two this evening. And the first one is recognition of Elliot Levy, Aiken County Historical Museum Executive Director. And we're hoping he will change his mind before we even go any further. Let me meet you down there.
I move we keep him away from the microphone.
Second.
Good luck on that. Good luck on that.
Right, put him on the clock.
Oh, Elliot, you're going to have us all crying, you know that, don't you?
I'm over here closer.
We're going to lift you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We have a proclamation for Elliot, and let me read it. You can help me read it if you want. Whereas Elliot Levy has served the Aiken County Historical Museum as executive director since September 2006, and whereas during his term of leadership he has established the museum as a destination for tourism, events, special exhibits, and learning more about the rich history of Aiken County and the city of Aiken. Whereas his energetic and enthusiastic presentations have enthralled visitors from near and far, and whereas his many successes include increasing the number of visitors to the museum from 9,000 to 25,000 per year, and whereas he has also worked on award-winning educational video productions on Aiken's history that have also brought a lot of positive recognition to our community, and whereas he has worked tirelessly all these years to share interesting historical facts about our community and has earned the respect of so many people, and has now announced his retirement effective May 30, 2014. Now, therefore, the Aiken City Council commends Elliot Levy, Aiken County Historical Museum Director, for his excellent work promoting Aiken, and wishes him well and Godspeed as he takes a well-earned rest. Presented in Aiken, South Carolina, this 12th day, May 2014, by council. Elliot?
Say something? Oh, my goodness. Right, 5 minutes?
No.
If y'all have never been in a meeting or anything with this guy, one of the first things he'll do is try to look for the microphone and talk about his business. You know, it's something going on all the time there.
Thank you, Fred. And thank you, council members.
Elliot, before you get wound up, on behalf of staff, we had a couple of commemorative gifts we wanted you to take with you, some consolation prizes. The first is, we know how much you have an interest in the pottery that was made in Edgefield District, now partly Aiken County, and there was a pretty significant sale back in January. We've got the catalog for that sale from you, so you can keep up on your notes. And somehow we know that rest is probably not what you're doing,
So this is a stress for him. We know how Marlene rides horses, and there you go.
Well, thank you so much.
You have a stress reliever.
I do, and I get at the museum, we had these. At the museum, we had these little squirrels, these stuffed squirrels, and so I have one so that when I get really angry, I can, you know. And I ask my wife if she'll put it onto the driveway before I get home so I can run over two or three times. It helps with stress. I want to thank everybody. I've been very fortunate. I came to Aiken, and we're not selling our house, so I will be here. But I've met so many wonderful people and made so many wonderful friends, and it has been a joy. I've had more than my share of success, and I found a city that I call it the Mesopotamia of the United States, because so many things have happened here. And I'm just so fortunate to have been able to find this place and to find my niche in this place, and I want to thank everybody. You've been so kind and wonderful to me. Thank you very much. That was my short speech.
Can I go around just...
Yes, you can go right across the front.
I don't want to kiss you real bad.
I'll just shake your hand. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
I want a kiss, too.
Oh,
I know. I can look forward to seeing you. It's something you will want to get into with your little girl. It's called party quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is correct when he says that's his shortest speech. It certainly was.
Yeah, the red hair. Yeah.
Yes. Presentation two is an update on the ridge at Chucker Creek. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Council will recall on a couple of occasions we've had the developer of the ridge at Chucker Creek, Ron Monahan, with us to talk about his work in the development. We had sent him a letter back in March with some items for attention by him, and he wanted to come before council tonight to talk about that and also talk about possibilities with the ridge at Chucker Creek. So without any further ado, if you'll come up. You can. Oh, okay. That's fine. I thought you were talking.
I did.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. My name is Wayne Smith. I'm with the real estate firm of Wilson Kibler in Columbia, and I've been asked to assist FDA, the owners of the Ridge of Chucker Creek, with several items. And I'm here to update you on our progress on some of the items that Mr. Pierce just mentioned. As he did mention, the purpose of our request to be here on the agenda is to request a bond extension for the completion of the outstanding items that are on the punch list at the Ridge. At this time, we have an agreement to sell the majority of the lots to the present builder, and I think that's significant as to our means to complete that list. Also, we have today have had a meeting with the subdivision's lender, and they have agreed to, in principle, to extend the letters of credit for the bond. So we have done that, and we will continue our discussions with the lender until that is completed. I think it's important to note that FBA is still the owner of the ridge. They are vested in the project. They still own lots, and they're still accepting responsibilities for these items on this punch list. They're not going anywhere, even though we have an agreement with the existing builder. The principals of FBA and some of the Homeowners Association members are here tonight as needed. I think there's been substantial progress made on the list. It is not complete yet. The FBA has met with the city staff on more than one occasion in the last couple of weeks to start going over those items, and they are continuing to make progress, and we'll see them through to completion. I think it's most important to know that we now have the means to complete these items, that with the sale of additional lots, that gives us the money. And very frankly, as all of us know, we have just been through a terrific recession, and that has slowed sales and cash flow to the ridge just like any other project. And that has hindered our ability to complete that list in a more timely manner. We now have those means, and the means are coming, so really we're just asking for time. And that's, I think, an important commitment by FBA, and it's a statement that we want to make to you. Basically, we are accepting responsibility. We want to continue to work. It is the responsibility of FBA to complete these items. They are the ones that should do it, and they intend to do it, so we're asking for this extension to allow us the time to do that.
And our records show that the letters of credit were set to expire July 6, 2014. Was that the date that you had?
I believe so, yes, sir.
And I wasn't clear from your presentation what type of extension you were asking.
I think the previous extension was a year's period, and that would certainly be our request.
And again, since staff had already granted one extension under the development regulations, it would take City Council approval for the extension to be further granted.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us more detail on the success that you've had and how you're moving forward? And it sounds like, you know, you've got people on board and organizations on board to back you up. And the
successes we've had on the...
Well, I think you indicated...
On the list?
Yeah, you... Yeah, yes, okay. Right.
It's hard for me. I am not doing the work myself, believe me. I think that the completion and the work that is being done, for example, revolves a lot of it around storm drainage, and we've had a lot of storms that have caused additional storm drainage since the original letter was written. So that is one of the general items that has been worked on a lot. I think, for example, the big item that where there was a sewer line underneath a particular lot and under a house has been completed, big items like that. I think that a major item to be completed, which is normal in the course of a bond, is for the top coat of asphalt to be placed on certain portions of the subdivision, and we'll be bidding that out with a general contractor. And that is typical of a subdivision to leave that top course off until houses are complete.
So that'll be done soon?
That would be done, soon. It would be done within the bond completion time.
Okay.
For sure.
Now, within the bond completion time, if that's with the extension.
Right. That's correct.
Of a year, is that correct?
That's what we're asking for, sure.
Okay.
If that year is a problem, there's a certain item we can discuss.
Are there any comments by council?
So we put this on the agenda for the next meeting to vote on?
Or can we do it tonight?
You can't do it tonight.
Mr. Smith might be able to comment on that.
I mean, they're giving you details that we didn't have public knowledge of prior to this meeting. I think it's probably best to have a resolution before council at the next meeting.
I think it would, because the, just to be sure all the neighbors are
okay
with it. And he said some of the neighbors are here tonight. And I have a couple of questions about a couple of items on the list whenever it's appropriate to ask them.
Yeah, we ought to have that list also.
Okay. I mean, that is acceptable to us to have a vote on it at your next meeting. I think that's a certain...
That would be June 9th would be the next meeting. And it would be helpful to staff if the developer could provide us with what you believe is a completed item so we can then inspect it.
Thank you. Sure.
Okay. Mr. Edmund, you want to ask a question?
Yes. And I don't know if the gentleman will know the status, the famous equestrian trail, and Mr. Monahan is very familiar with it, the one that has the big rocks in it, is that there's been a lot of discussion what to do with it. Obviously, and I've complimented Mr. Monahan on it, it was an equestrian community, converted it to a regular residential, and if he wouldn't have, probably wouldn't have the houses there today. But we still have to either deal with the ditch that's there now and the rocks in it. If that's okay with the neighbors, then, that's okay. But I think they should have some weigh-in on that. behind the houses, not behind every house, but it's about behind half the houses down, if you will, the north side, and you may know what I'm referring to.
I know some of it, and I understand that it is an item of much discussion over the last several years. I think technically it is not in the bond punch list items, but one thing that we assure you is that we are glad to meet with any group, including yourselves and any homeowners association, to further discuss the ultimate outcome of that.
Well, I think that it's the homeowners that live there that's important,
right.
And I don't know. I would think since it was part of the original concept plan to have a trail 25-foot wide down that side, I would think that the city would be involved. And by the way, that's a point of contention why it wasn't on the punch list and part of the bond.
Okay.
Our minutes to the meeting say it was part of the bond, but
gotcha.
That's neither here nor there. We need to get it fixed. So I guess either Mr. Pierce or Mr. Smith need to say, how do we address to be sure what we have is okay? And it's really the neighbors that live on it that's important. And I don't know who gets involved to say, okay, like it is okay. It's, you know, there's rocks in it now and stuff. And when I say big rocks, there's big rocks in there. And I don't know if that's a problem with the neighbor kids or anything like that. And that's the issue, is are they happy or not happy?
May I add one thing that might throw some light onto that?
Yeah.
And that is part of that concept is on undeveloped land that will be developed at a later date. We have additional phase of the ridge to be built, and we are in the process of signing an additional contract to have that developed at the appropriate time. I think it's maybe inappropriate to allow to complete any portion of that's in that area because of the construction that will go on in the future. So that might be part of the conversation.
I'm talking about on the north side only.
I think I know.
And there's about, I guess, 8 or 10 houses that actually back up to that ditch.
Got it. Okay.
And then on up the hill, there's no ditch.
Okay.
And I guess we need to be sure that those neighbors are happy with it. And if they are, then
okay,
so be it. And I don't know how we get to that point, because right now it's not by the concept plan.
Right. And if the developer can give us a letter, we can certainly set up that meeting. And it's probably going to be best to have it out on site.
Okay.
And give those neighbors
I think we need to do that, and because there are several of them have talked to me about it. And, you know, whatever agreements there's been over time, we just need to bring that to fruition. If they're happy with it, fine, and not a problem to the kids.
And you're talking about a specific 8 or 10?
That northern boundary.
It's 8 or 10 houses, maybe 12 houses.
I understand. Got it. Okay. We'd be glad to help facilitate that.
So, however, because it's a concept planned issue which we would need to vote on to change, I would assume.
I think you've got two issues. One of them I think is fairly simple. The other one I think is fairly complicated. The simple issue is whether or not council wants to extend the bond for one more year. To me, that's fairly simple. The more complicated issue is, and I haven't heard them ask for amendments to the concept plan yet, but they may very well want to have amendments to the concept plan. But that would, to me, that would be two things.
Two things, yes, it is.
In the concept plan, modifications, if they're going to have them, can come back later. But the bond extension need to get done fairly quickly, or else the bond's going to be due.
And I don't have a problem with that. That's why I'm saying bringing this other is an issue, but our next meeting is June 9th. Between now and June 9th, it would be nice to get the neighbors together, and we go over that and be sure we cross the T's and dot the I's, because they're the ones that bought the property thinking there was no ditch. For some of them, the ditch was there, some it wasn't. But I want to be sure they're happy and we change whatever we need to do. So 10 years from now, a new homeowner comes in and says, well, I'm not supposed to have a ditch there. And it's there.
Mr. Mayor.
I understand completely.
Yes.
Because you've got to sell the house to somebody else.
I understand completely, sir.
Mr. Mayor,
okay.
If I can add a comment here. We discussed this at length. We beat it to death in the past.
At least 3 times.
And we're going to beat it again. But if we, again, as our attorney is saying, this gentleman is here for one purpose, and that is to ask for an extension. Okay. Now, if I want to call the neighbors and let them get incited and get out and say what they're opposed to, we can add that in there, but that's not the intent. The intent is to determine if we want to give them a year's extension. If we want to discuss that other piece to it at another meeting, we can do that. But we need to decide whether we want to give that extension here.
It'll be on the agenda for the 9th.
Okay, any other discussion? We need.
Let's see. You need to vote for this.
Okay.
You're getting information for tonight.
That's right.
And I think in our next package, it will show some history of the discussion that we've had in previous discussions with council as to what this involved.
Yeah, so. We'd certainly provide the minutes. Okay. And again, with the letter from the developer and then an inspection by staff, that'll give us much more detail.
Yeah, I think so. And those inspections are ongoing, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a second agenda item for that date. If we could handle it on the same date, I think would be valuable and put an end to it.
Understand. Thank you.
Okay, we have a young lady that would like to speak.
Thank you.
Wayne, thank you for your presentation.
Hi there, I'm Robin Berings. I live at the Ridge, and my house is the brick house directly next to the retention pond. And I back up to the ditch or the big boulders or whatever you want to call it. And when I moved in, and I was the first person, we were the first couple that moved into the Ridge, there was a ditch. They subsequently improved the water issue by putting those boulders, stones, whatever you want to call it, there. I have no problem whatsoever. I work out of town. I don't know that I'll be able to come in June 9th, but I definitely wanted it on the record. I have no problem as is, and please make sure that's on the record. Okay? Thank you.
It's on the record right now. Thank you, Marie.
Ms. Reins, ma'am. Yeah, Joanne. Do you get the same opinion from the other neighbors that are there? Do any of them have little kids running around that's a problem or any of that?
The lot right next to me up is empty.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there are no neighbors. The lot next to that is a couple with some older children, as in high school age. The lot next to that also do not have younger children. And by that time, you're not in a ditch area. You're actually on an incline.
Okay. So you don't see a problem with the other neighbors?
Of course, you can have it on the agenda on June 9th, and maybe they'll show up. But, again, the lot next to me is empty. So that's my issue.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Seems like it's been a while, but wasn't there supposed to be a horse trail and a concept plan along the fence about this area that we're talking about? Now, did that concept plan change, or did the plans change, or how did we just eliminate that aspect?
Well, you can't remember our discussions. Obviously, there were three of them. The concept plan called for one thing, and there were some changes to the way the addition was run, and the concept plan doesn't match what's there.
Yeah.
And if the neighbors are happy with it, then we just need to change the concept plan.
There were some stormwater issues in South Carolina Department of Health Education.
What happens is 10 years from now, somebody buys the house, one of the houses, little kid falls in there, and they come back and say, well, that ditch is not supposed to be there. And right now, the permanent records show that there's not supposed to be a ditch there.
Mm-hmm. The discussion included the involvement by South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control on the storm runoff, and that's why those mitigation steps were taken. But we'll get all that for June 9th.
Next meeting?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Under old business, first item is approval of appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. You recommended reappointment of William Price to the Senior Commission. That term would run through March 14, 2016. Councilmember Diggs recommend the appointment of Laverne Justice to the Arts Commission, and that term would last through April 11, 2016. So for council consideration tonight is the reappointment of William Price to the Senior Commission and appointment of Laverne Justice to the Arts Commission.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously.
And I think, actually, Ms. Price stepped out of the room there.
Okay, all right. Any nominations for any vacant spots that there are? Okay. Doesn't appear to be. Item 2, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property of Sohela, hope I'm pronouncing that right, and Roy Rothermel
yes,
at 114 Glen Place and zone at RS 15, residential single family. Do we have a motion and a second for that?
Mayor, if I may, sure. I need to read the title of the ordinance into the record.
Okay.
The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken property owned by Sohela and Roy Rothermel and to zone the same residential single family RS 15. We do have the property up on the screen for reference. It's in the Bridalwood subdivision. Planning Commission on April 15 unanimously approved this annexation request and zoning, and Council approved it on first reading at the April 28th meeting. So for consideration tonight is second reading of the ordinance and public hearing to annex it into the city limits.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Didn't mean to jump ahead of you.
No, sir. No problem.
Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please, for approval. Passes unanimously. Item 3 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the FY 2013-14 budget to approve a contract for hauling winter storm packs chipped debris. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2013 and ending June 30, 2014. You do have the bid tally sheet in the materials we provided to you. The apparent low bidder was McWhorter Logging for $2.75 a ton. We have revised the calculations of the projected potential total cost because we've collected $144,751 cubic yards at this time. By the calculation formula that FEMA has provided, that should translate into about 9,000 tons of debris, and we're looking at just under $25,000 in potential costs if this vendor hauls all the debris. Our plan, there were some equipment problems with the chippers, but with the haulers, they will begin hauling debris from the Centennial Park area. That's a little bit tricky for the public to come in and obtain debris. Within the next 2 weeks, the Citizens Park debris pile, we believe, will be processed if the equipment's online and running. And our plan is to have free mulch available for the public at the Citizens Park debris pile, which is on Barry Johnson Boulevard, and it's kind of across to the east from our new splash park in Citizens Park, and that's much handier and we believe safer for citizens to come and collect debris. So this debris at Centennial will actually be hauled away, and after those two piles are chipped, then we'll go to the Powder House Road. The good thing about this particular hauler and the reason for his bid being so reasonable is that he has an end user for the chips, and they will use it to generate power for a plant operation. So it's not going to the landfill. It's actually going to be used. So on first reading is this... you approved it on first reading. Excuse me, it's your April 28th meeting. This is the second reading and public hearing for an ordinance for us to hire this hauling company to remove this debris.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4 is a second reading public hearing of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding outdoor lighting in the planned commercial and planned institutional zones. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding outdoor lighting in the planned commercial and planned institutional zones. We have a memo from Planning Commission Chair Liz Stewart, and beginning at page 142 of the agenda, the actual existing ordinance showing the language to be deleted and the language to be added to this particular part of our zoning ordinance. The Planning Commission has unanimously recommended approval of these changes. Council unanimously approved the changes at your April 28th meeting. And for council consideration tonight is the second reading of this ordinance in public hearing.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Approval. Passes unanimously. Item 5, second reading public hearing of ordinance to cancel the developer's agreement with Arcadia Hendon Hitchcock Plaza LLC. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to rescind ordinance number 1025-2004, authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a development agreement with Arcadia Hendon Hitchcock Plaza LLC. We have been contacted by the principals of this LLC, and they have informed us that they believe that they had met all the terms of the development agreement, which begins at page 149 of the agenda packet. And staff, including our engineering and utilities and planning department directors, have looked into this, and they agree with the developer that all conditions of the development agreement have been met. As you'll see from the document that is on page 149, it's been recorded at the deed office. So anyone checking the title or looking at this particular property would think there's a pending development agreement, and at the request of the owners, they are seeking rescission of the ordinance so that the conditions of the development agreement can be documented as satisfied. Council unanimously approved the ordinance at the reading on April 28th, and this is second reading and public hearing of this ordinance to rescind.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So moved.
I second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 6, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to authorize a loan up to $3,840,000 to fund construction of the Silver Bluff Water Treatment Plant Project. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The ordinance appears at page 154, and based on discussions we had at our meeting on April 28th, the title of the ordinance has been amended to show an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to lend up to $3,840,000 to provide financing to fund the construction of the Silver Bluff Water Treatment Plant. The note that is proposed appears at page 156 in the ordinance, or in the agenda packet, excuse me, and then the proposed payout for this loan appears at page 157. Based on the discussion that we had at our last meeting, there was certainly concern that if this interfund loan is approved and the actual funding, the total funding for the project with a loan from the general fund was approved when council adopted the 2013-2014 fiscal year budget. This particular ordinance directs where the money is to come from this general fund transfer and the interest rate to be charged. The payout sheet on page 157 shows a payout in fiscal year 2018-19. Finance staff has run an amortization schedule, and council will recall from our discussions at the April 28th meeting that currently we are in the process of setting aside funds to retire the 2009 utility bond. The final payment is $1,030,124. Since that money was set aside to pay the utility bond, that is the loan payment money for this budget year. For the budget year 2014-2015. That pays out the end of this calendar year. At that time, that means you will have no bonds that need to be paid, and that frees up money for use in the utility fund. Since this is a construction project, we have had discussions with George Grinton, who is our director of the engineering and utility department. He'll complete approximately $2,900,000 plus, so just under $3 million of the $4.2 million water treatment plant project at Silver Bluff Road. In effect, this interfund transfer becomes a construction loan. We anticipate that the construction will be complete, and our goal is to have the certification before the 2015 summer watering season. When that is all confirmed, then beginning with the 2015 budget year, that's 15, 16, 16, 17, 17, 18, and 18, 19, the funds that we use to pay the bond that we had can instead be used to retire this interfund loan and put the money back in the general fund account. We have heard comments from Mr. Smith at our meeting on April 28th that is an appropriate transfer of funds with an ordinance and a note that's repayable. We've rerun the amortization schedule, and it appears that if the payment amount, is the amount we've done for, in the neighborhood of the amount we've done for the bond retiring, that was approximately $85,000 a month, then at a 1.2% calculated interest rate, that the interfund loan could be repaid in 46 months from the first month of payment, which would be 46 months from July 2015. And that is actually shown in the repayment schedule on page 157. So staff has looked at this. I've discussed it with a couple of council members, and we believe we've addressed the concerns from your first reading on April 28th. So for consideration on second reading and public hearing is the ordinance to authorize this interfund loan transfer under these terms.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Pearson, I had a discussion on this. The I moved that the we accept this ordinance with a revision being that the payment amount be $85,843 per month, and that's what Mr. Pierce just stated. So that's the only difference. Page 164 in there has an $81,975.
Yeah, that was that other amortization.
The other amortization. All we need is a new amortization schedule in it, and everything is fine. You really don't need to revise the ordinance. You just need a new amortization schedule, right?
Well, yes, sir. Actually, the repayment period would be 46 months,
yep.
And the monthly payment's supposed to be $85,461.38.
So, Mr. City Attorney, if you can do those two things, it makes it match everything. All the numbers match.
They would then match, yes, sir.
Yep.
And what month do we begin accruing?
We would start making the set aside, the
yes.
monthly payment set aside.
Yes.
That would begin July of 2015. Construction will be complete at that point. We anticipate the plant will be certified, and then we can make that payment.
You're going to still pay for it whether it's running that month.
Well, no, I understand that, but I thought we were making a payment on July of 2015. So,
yes, sir, July. That'll be the first $85,000 payment. As we do with construction loans,
okay.
We would set aside interest this year. We calculated that as $46,000 worth of interest. So that'll take us from now through July.
Okay. And is the status of the project, as best we know now, in good shape? Okay.
On time and good to go.
And I just have one other question, and that's on page 157. I intend to support the motion, but not if it means that I approve of what is written on this page about financing of the water meters, as I still...
No, sir. This is separate from the water meters.
I know, but it's got the water meters on this page.
Yes, sir. This is strictly for information only, Mr. DeWar.
Okay.
It shows a new interfund loan, and it shows that next budget year there'll be an interest payment of $46,084.
Yes.
Then in 2005, 2016, there'll be $998,084.
Yes. You got that.
Paid out.
Yeah. And I
again,
understand.
What the amortization, what the actual payment will wind up being is the amortized amount.
Yeah. Well, I understand that as it refers to the water plant.
Yes, sir, that's right.
I'm still not comfortable with our funding of water meters. That's all I want to say.
Well, the water meters are on page 135 when we get to the budget.
I know, okay.
So,
if I could ask a question just to clarify, yes, Mr. Evans' concern. The monthly payment, is you're calculating it now based on current interest rates, Mr. Pierce?
That's exactly what it has been calculated
on. $85,843 per month.
It was $85,461.38.
Currently.
Uh-huh.
And what I want counsel and Mr. Ebner to understand is what I can do is we can amend the note, and the note would say that using the current interest rate, the initial monthly payment would be $85,461.38 if that payment were to start today. But,
oh, okay, go ahead.
But Ms. Abney is not going to calculate what the real first monthly payment is until July the 1st of 2015, because that's going to be when she knows what the interest rates are for the preceding 12 months.
Right.
That's true.
Right. And unless we see a significant change, the repayment over the course of the year will be more like $1,025,500.
If the interest rate changes, you know, it's going to change in the third decimal point.
I can put a parenthetical in the note that would say, for example, if the payment were to start today, it would be this much money.
That's right.
But that's going to be recalculated on July 1st, 2015 by the finance director.
We do it on an annual basis.
That's correct.
Yeah, recalculated annually.
Yeah.
In July.
That's correct.
Yeah, that would be the anniversary date of the note.
Yep.
Okay.
And we need a second to that.
Oh, did you make the motion?
No.
You made the motion?
Yeah. The motion and the city attorney has clarified it, so I'm happy with what he's got done.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Right. I have a question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
Perhaps George would have to answer this. Who did the initial design of the plant?
Wolfert.
Yeah,
Wolfert.
Okay, and who's doing the construction?
Harper.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 7, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance for the sale of 1407 Aldrich Street in Crosland Park. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to convey certain real property in the Crosland Park subdivision at 1407 Aldrich Street Northeast to Margie Stephanie McFadden. This is a cash sale in the amount of $70,000. Actually, Ms. McFadden has identified an attorney who will be handled by the Dufour law firm. Council unanimously approved this sale at your first reading on April 28th, and this is second reading and public hearing on the ordinance to sell this property for $70,000.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I so move.
Second, sir.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 8, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 911 Mirror Avenue and zone at RS-10 residential single family. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken property consisting of 0.69 acres of land, more or less, owned by the City of Aiken, and to zone the same residential single family RS-10. This property is located immediately adjacent to the public shopping center, and in page 180 of the agenda packet you have the aerial photographs up on the screen for your reference. This property actually connects into the site. It's a double lot, and it's shaded in red in the top photo. We've been in discussion with the owners of Publix as well as the owners of that particular center, and we have a design that we've been working with Tool Engineering for an access road to provide directly from Doherty down Christie Place into the shopping center. That was part of our Doherty Road corridor study and a recommendation, and will help us alleviate traffic on Doherty and Whiskey Road. This is second reading and public hearing for the ordinance to annex this property into the city.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved.
I second.
Okay. Discussion?
Yes. We purchased the property for how much?
I can't remember. It was, do you remember? George, it was 120, but I was...
We let the minutes reflect that we purchased it for that amount of money?
I'm sorry.
I'd like the minutes reflect we purchased the property for that amount of money, or approximately that amount of money.
Is it okay, Ms. Price, if we have the city clerk look that up, because of the purchase was done by resolution, we have the exact amount, and we can put that in?
That's fine. We can make adjustments for the next meeting. Or we approve the minutes of the meeting.
The correct amount will be in the minutes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, we would just refer back to the resolution. I'm sorry, I just didn't have that number with
me. Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All approval. Passes unanimously.
And that purchase money was 1 cent sales tax money.
The minutes can reflect that as well, so that we could have it.
New business, item one.
Capital two.
Item one, first reading of an ordinance to sell lot 13, Ventures Industrial Park. Mr. Pierce.
Thank you very much, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance authorizing the city of Aiken to convey certain real property known as lot 13, Ventures Industrial Park, to Chad Ingram. There's a letter of intent from Mr. Ingram, and that appears at page 186 in the agenda packet. Since it is city-owned land, it requires an ordinance approved by city council. He has offered $5,300 per acre. We had a recent appraisal in Greens Industrial Park, and it appraised for that. We will have an appraisal done as part of this purchase. If council passes this on first reading, then we'll undertake that expense. On the screen, you have an original plat that shows lot 13. You'll see next to it, to the left, is lot 14, and there's a corner there. The actual property line goes from that corner to the right and is parallel to the abandoned runway. So there is a strip of land between this property boundary on lot 13 and the runway that would be subject to a lease. Mr. Ingram has offered to pay the same lease rate for that strip of land to have access to the runway at the same rate that the FBO is paying for the FBO leased ground. Then as part of this, our understanding is Mr. Ingram would like to construct a hangar and have an airplane house there. He needs access to the runway to access the airport. That is going to take a through-the-fence operation agreement with the Federal Aviation Administration, and we have consulted our consultant at the airport, and they are going to help us prepare that particular document and process that with the FAA. So for council consideration on first reading is an ordinance to sell lot 13, Ventures Industrial Park, to Chad Ingram at the price of $5,300 per acre.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I'll second it. Any discussion?
Just a question. With it being subject to FAA, does the sale go through? I mean, what happens if FAA doesn't approve it?
What we would do is obtain the initial approval from FAA before we actually close, because that's a condition of the sale.
And given FAA's track record, we might sell it next year.
I certainly hope not. We don't know, but we'll let them know about the potential sale.
Okay, but we do have to wait for the FAA approval to close.
That is a condition of the sale.
Oh, yeah.
And does that approval also indicate approval to cut through the fence?
Well, typically what FAA would be looking at is that the remainder of the property would be fenced, so the public would not have access to the airport property.
Okay.
And have some other criteria that they apply as well.
And I think it's like 8 acres, so he would build a hangar. What else could he build on it, or could he build anything?
Whatever the restrictive covenants allow.
Yeah, that's, it's part of the industrial park, so what the restrictive covenants permit.
Yeah, okay.
That's where Newman Technologies and SC Metal Products located.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
And for the record here, am I to assume that the property valued at the Ventures Industrial Park is $5,300?
We're going to have the property appraised. We are waiting for this first reading before we incur that expense.
That's per acre.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Per
acre.
Acre.
That seems quite cheap per acre at the industrial park. But if you've got 4 or 5 acres, I'd like, I won't say that, but anyway, that's cheap.
It'll be appraised by when? Before the second reading?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah. Yes. So we go ahead and order that this week.
Okay. All right. We've got a motion and a second already. Show of hands. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 2, it's first reading of an ordinance to set the millage rate for the FY 2014-15 budget. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to provide for the levy of taxes for ordinary city purposes and for capital development purposes in the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2014, set the millage rate at 63 3/10 mills and to provide for the expenditures thereof. We had a work session tonight about the budget. It's my understanding that there may be an amendment from council to set the millage rate at 62 mills and have another work session before our June 9th meeting where the millage rate would be under consideration and second read the budget, depending on what council would like to do regarding a cost of living adjustment for all city employees and salaries for public safety personnel. So for first reading is the ordinance to set the millage rate for the fiscal year 2014-15 budget.
At 62, you said?
The current ordinance says 63 3/10 mills. It's my understanding that there was a desire by council to amend that to 62 mills, which is our current millage rate.
Right. Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
I'll move that we retain the current millage rate.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3, first reading of an ordinance to approve the FY 2014 to 2015 budget. Mr. Pierce.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance adopting a budget proposed by the city manager containing estimates of proposed revenues and expenditures by the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2014 and ending June 30, 2015 and declaring that it shall constitute the budget of the city of Aiken. This is first reading of the annual budget for the city of Aiken. Again, we did discuss expenditures at our budget workshops throughout April where we talked about the public services budget, public safety budget, engineering and utilities budget, and parks, recreation, and tourism budgets. The work budget that we had in the session today did have the 63.3 mills millage rate, which included a 2% cost of living for our employees. It's our understanding that council has kept the millage rate at 62 mills. So, in effect, the budget would back out that 2% cost of living adjustment for our employees from the budget figures. We understand that council has requested further information regarding potential salary adjustments for our public safety personnel, and we will prepare that and have a work session before we have the next regular meeting of council on June 9, 2014. We have provided with council with a list of revenue expenditures as of June 30th, 2011, 2012, and 2013. Those figures show the actual revenues for the general and utilities funds as well as the actual expenditures from those funds for those 3 years. Council will note that there's been a modest increase in each year's budget. We have provided you with a list of the major projects that we will undertake. This budget incorporates the general fund, the water and sewer utilities funds, Aiken Theater, the stormwater fund, local accommodations tax, Sunday alcohol sales fund, victim services fund, the Aiken Airport, community development block grant, Ventures Industrial Park, Northside redevelopment, and Frosland Park funds. On page 190 of the agenda packet, we have the major purchases, including public safety vehicles, self-contained breathing apparatus, a fire rescue truck, landscaping equipment, garbage trucks, grapple truck, yard trash trailer, recreation landscape equipment, rye patch improvement, Shaw's Creek machinery, Silver Bluff water plant, water meters, sewer system maintenance, and lift station maintenance. When we had a discussion at the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism session that Glenn Parker led on the 24th, there was a discussion about setting aside $100,000 for the Railroad Depot for potential construction of the deck and baggage building. That money is included in the accommodations tax budget, so that's an additional $100,000. I think we had had it, again, that's what the way it's set up in the budget. We are experiencing increases in fuel costs. Everybody has seen that at the pump. We have restored that money in the budget as requested by the department directors. And for council consideration on first reading would be a proposed budget with a 62 mil millage rate.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, are you moving
with the 62 mils
and taking the 2% at the 2% cost of living
it's
adjustment
based
out
on 62 mils? Yeah. Because we already passed that ordinance, so if you got it, however you time together. I'm no. Go ahead. Whoever's. I got several questions.
Yeah. Are we just responding to a talkback? Are we buying the small green barrels?
Small blue.
No, green.
The roll carts you're talking about. Yes, we have both sizes of roll carts. Last I checked.
Okay, because there was some comment in there that we wanted.
No, we don't. You don't have the small green ones anymore.
We switched all the big
ones. Come up here because there's some questions about it. So.
And I think we had this discussion last year.
Yes.
Excuse the.
They come in 40 gallon and 90 gallon sizes. And we have the green for the garbage and the blue for the recycling. But it ties up a great amount of money in inventory to offer both of those sizes. The larger ones were requested probably 25 to 1. And we've seen a big increase in the need for the larger blue ones as people shift to more recycling. So it made sense to us to not tie up thousands of dollars in inventory with the smaller ones if they just weren't being requested. Now, certainly we can do that if the council wants.
My thought was that I can imagine some seniors would have difficulty with a bigger one as opposed, and they probably wouldn't fill it anyway.
And we went out and talked to a lot of people. We found with the larger wheels that the center of gravity, some people think the larger ones are actually easier to roll than the small ones, the small ones that have tiny wheels. But we can certainly stock those if you want.
I've got a small recycle one. I'll trade with somebody to get for a big one.
Well, and we have some of that going on. There is a cost, though, as people switch around like that. That takes man hours. And
I've got a small one. Can I keep it?
Absolutely. It's totally up to council. If they want to order a truckload of the smaller ones, it just ties up more.
You
more
have
money
to buy them by the truckload?
To get the best value, that's how we...
Right. We can get them individually, but the cost is 30% higher or something. It's significant.
If you bought 100 of them versus 2,000,
the price would go from $50 to $80 a piece, something like that. But it just became more efficient for us to go with all the big ones. But we can certainly get the little ones if you want. They're none in the budget currently, I don't believe.
Thank you. Now, we talked in the prior session about the revising the take-home policy for ADPS. Do we want to wait and talk about that at the next meeting, or is that something that we can just do here? I think there was general agreement on it.
There are so many little things that we talked about that are big,
maybe
we better wait to the next.
Right.
It would help us if we could present a total package to count.
Okay. All right. I'm not a fan of putting in the things that we want to buy based on getting a FEMA grant. I don't think we've got the generators in the budget for the lift stations and several other things that I just can't recite. But there's a lot of money tied up in here, as I understand it, as I read it, based on getting money for FEMA. And I'd rather, personally, I would rather get the money and then buy the stuff.
Okay, sir. Again, this would be stuff that's related to the storm event. So if we had damage to a backstop, for example, we were using funds from reserve.
Yeah, the backstop we covered. I mean, that's okay because we covered that, I think. But you call it engineering utilities, but the public works session, they was talking about getting a lot of generators for everything from Odell Weeks, I think, and lift stations and so forth, that the money would be available based on a grant application.
Yes, sir. That's the mitigation funds, and that will open up later this month.
But that money in the budget, or did I not? I thought I saw it.
There is money in the utilities budget. For example, there's a stationary generator at the Shaw's Creek Water Treatment Plant.
Is that something that FEMA would reimburse us to purchase?
It's not that FEMA would reimburse us to purchase it. We will get FEMA funds that could be used to purchase, or the other pot of money would be the mitigation funds that go to the state of South Carolina. If we can get the mitigation funds, then that saves us having to spend $300,000 on a generator for the Shaw's Creek plant.
Do we know exactly how much money we'll receive from FEMA?
We do not. We know that our first 30-day submittal will be in the range of $600,000. It's reimbursed at the rate of 85%, and we're looking at over $500,000 to be paid to the city from that request.
If we roll up our costs, if we've taken funds out of our reserve account for fixing the fence and for the chipping contract and for the hauling contract.
That's right. We could,
and that would come out of this money. We would take this part of this money and put back in the reserve.
Right. You could make your reserve flush again. That's right.
And then that amounts to about $300,000 or $350,000. Then what happens to the rest of the money?
Again, we would not spend the money unless it was for storm-related expenses. If
so
it was
in other
repair,
words,
replacement contracts, that type of expense.
We'd put it into our fuel account and all the things that we used up, fuel and so forth and so on. So so in reality, that money is not, we call it revenue, but that $869,000 doesn't really play into the money we're spending in the budget.
It will, to the extent that we fix backstops and we mitigate situations that are not covered by the mitigation money. We buy a generator, that kind of thing.
Oh, so as we just discussed, it's a one-time event. The money coming in is one-time event.
Yes, that grant money is related to the winter storm, yes.
Okay.
It is one-time money.
Have you got any more questions?
We're tag team here. I know that we're increasing the money from the Victims Fund for Cumbie and the Child Advocacy Center, and I support it.
Yeah.
But we need to make clear that the increase is only because we've got the extra money in there.
Yes.
As opposed to guaranteeing that they're going to get the money. I mean, if the money's not there, they can't get it.
That's right. And that's an excellent point, Mr. DeWar. If we don't spend the money, it has to be paid back to the state. And I think all of us know that those two organizations desperately need the funds.
So they'll get the 20 this year, but next year, depending, it might go down to go back to 10, or it might go to 15.
Again, we budget that every year. You're exactly right. So we would take a look at what funds were available then.
Okay. And historically, maybe some of the senior members of the council can tell me, why do we have a Sunday alcohol fund?
That was a referendum to allow businesses to sell alcohol on Sunday. That would be, you know, a restaurant or bar. And that went to a referendum that was voted on by the voters. It passed. So since there is that revenue, it's kept separate.
That was passed by the citizens of Aiken.
Yes.
City of Aiken.
Yes,
okay.
But that was a public referendum.
Go ahead.
I have two things, Mr. Mayor and City Manager, regarding the capital sales tax. The project manager, is that salary already included in the budget?
Not in the budget. That would be paid out of the capital sales tax project funds.
Okay. Are we looking for a person to...
If council approves that, that is part of our budget request, that I be authorized to find an operations manager. We anticipate that salary range to be $50,000 to $60,000 a year plus benefits and a full-time position.
Now, we have to vote on that separate. That's not in the budget.
That's right. It's not in the budget.
So we need to put that on the June 9th?
Yes, sir. That's what I was going to do.
Right. The second question deals with safe communities. The chief and his staff have done an excellent job in terms of safe communities. The stats look very good in terms of declining with crime within our city. My concern is that community, division have a budget. There are more and more requests coming in for these folks to go out. I received a call from Orangeburg for our folks to come down to speak and share all the great things we've got going on. So Aiken is being used as a model in terms of other cities liking what we're doing and asking for chief and others to come and speak and share our successes. And I'm not sure if that is appropriately budgeted or not. In addition to that, the folks in the community are asking and making demands on that group as well. So just want to make sure we've got ample funds in the budget to support those activities.
Mm-hmm. Chief, can you come to the microphone and address that? And certainly we have Thursday. We have a notification in this room Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm.
But during the day, our mentors from High Point are coming down. And, Chief, you could tell us all the communities. I know Conway's coming, and are there a couple other communities as well?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Orangeburg will be here Thursday as well.
Okay. Yeah.
We're looking for Orangeburg, Conway, and Blackville. This past week, I also spoke at the U.S. Attorney's Conference about Aiken Safe Communities.
Wow. And what was this, Chief?
In Gatlinburg.
Okay.
The U.S. Attorney for the South Carolina District was there, and... seeing the results, of course, people are very interested in what we're doing to, and it's not a cookie-cutter approach that
right.
You have to pick it up and put it in their community just like they can mold it to their community. So that's what's so attracted so many different communities.
Well, Orangeburg said they had seen other models, but liked Aiken's model the best, which is why they wanted to connect with you to see if they could replicate some of the things that you're doing in their town. So. Okay, great.
Good. And I'd like to add, and I don't know the appropriate methodology for this, but I'd like to add that for the second reading on this budget, that we give some consideration to some sort of economic development incentive or fund that we all just talked about in the work session, that we expect in future budget years to have some relatively flat growth in terms of revenue. And so I'd like consideration given to having a line item in the budget to begin an economic development initiative to try to help recruit or promote or perpetuate our city.
Yes, sir. There is an economic development line item in the budget. It's on page 63. That contribution goes to the economic development partnership.
Right, and I'm talking about something that's. I actually have talked to you about that and support that money for Real Williams, but
right,
I think we also need something that's, Real works for the county, Edgefield County, Aiken County, all that. I think we need something that's for the city, and I'd like to give some consideration between now and the next reading of some funds provided for that and a It's not. For instance, I mean, as you, Richard, know, you and I talked about an initiative that North Augusta just started with a consultant that is able to mine some data from credit card sales. And with that information, they're going to be able to target specific developers, specific industries, specific activities that they can maybe recruit in North Augusta where there's a need or an untapped need in that city. That's one of many potential ideas and initiatives. I'd like for us to start giving some thought to that because, you know, since 2010, we're growing at one-fifth of the rate that's considered the survival rate for a city.
Where did that information come from?
That's population growth. That's 0.5% per year. And you should grow about 2.5% per year.
And again, I just wanted to complete the thought. We have raised that amount from $10,000 to $20,000. We don't have a full-time equivalent position in the city for that. We do have professional services funds.
I don't want to solve the problem right now. I want us to, between now and then, give it some consideration, have all council thinking about it.
We do have money in the budget for other professional services. And again, we are going to be in discussion with North Augusta to see what kind of investment they've made. So I think we do have time between now and June 9 to come up with some ideas.
Good. Thank you.
I have some questions with regard to accommodations tax, page 189 and 190. We've got the very first item is $60,000 for park maintenance in buildings and grounds division. What will we do with that money?
Building and grounds, that's actually with Tim Coakley's group. And he's kind of shifting in his chair, so he's going to come up and tell you. Because he's been asking for this money for about 3 years, Tim?
Yes, sir. It's been coming out of there for the last 2 or 3 years.
That money is all your flowers downtown, all your flowers citywide. It's not just downtown. It's all the way out Whiskey Road and maintenance of the parkways.
Okay.
You know, anything we do out of Tom Rapp's group.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Now we have another park in tourism division, which I guess would be Park and Recs, is $15,000.
It's actually the parks division, sir.
Yes.
You have to read down on that. So park maintenance there, Mr. And Glenn Parker's with us for his last city council meeting,
right.
So I hope council will take a minute to speak with Glenn before you leave tonight. We've got $15,000. Glenn, can you speak to that?
The park maintenance account in there takes care of Citizens Park, the tennis center, various fertilizer,
okay,
the kind of things like that we use out there. Progressing with tennis courts.
But this supplements his regular general fund.
Correct.
Okay. It's in addition.
And then
to
you've got another one for building improvements of $25,000.
That's work that's going to be done at HO Week Center with some ceiling tile replacement of floors.
Thank you.
What is that?
Ceiling tile replacement of floors.
Oh, I remember that one.
Ceiling tiles are from like 1975.
Okay. And Rye Patch, I see that we've got $90,000. Was that the item that you mentioned before?
Building improvements goes to security at the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame, some pavers to replace that gravel that's out in front of it. You know, the gravel gets in the storm drain and clogs it up.
All right. And I know you've allocated $100,000 a railroad depot, but I was hoping that we could start looking at something for that scoreboard, or whatever you want to call it, the Whitney Polo Field. We talked about that. And that does lend itself into use of accommodations tax money. From what they have told us, they put heads on beds and probably buy a lot of equestrian supplies and so forth.
We don't have a definitive budget from the Polo Club or the Whitney trustees. That's an ongoing conversation we've had, so it was impossible to budget for because I don't know what the costs are.
Well, I thought they gave us it was about $195,000 altogether, and that. And I was hoping that we could just do a little bit each of the next 2 or 3 years.
Again, I don't have
a
recent number from them. Mr. Dwyer, I'd be glad to take a look at it.
What would be a reasonable number for them to ask for? $25,000 a year or $50,000 a year?
You're talking about accommodations tax money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
above and beyond the other, the heads on bids, I mean on the, that the accommodation tax committee does.
How much of the things that y'all are thinking about might be taken care of by the open space money that they talked about?
They didn't buy into that
at all?
Yeah. Originally, they, you know, we had, council had a meeting and discussion with the principals, right, and talked about some sort of conservation easement or assignment of development rights, and we gained no progress with that.
Yeah.
And again, I've had no follow-up correspondence or proposed budget or anything about anything.
Well, last time we discussed it, I mentioned potentially using some accommodations tax money for that effort.
And again, we could do the research to see if that's an appropriate use of the funds, but I wasn't aware of that till right now, so I'll be glad to.
Yeah, they haven't sent all
the find out who you need to talk to with the Hitchcock Foundation.
Well, we'll just put it back in their court.
Or the other foundation, because I'm not sure.
We've talked with the trustee.
We had three or four spokesmen, and they all had different approaches to it.
We've
got to find out who the individual is we need to talk to.
They have a
Let them sort out what their points are and come to us instead of us.
Making improvements over there is in line with accommodations tax because there are people who come from out of town that spend money in the city.
They come from other countries.
Yes.
How much would it cost to make some improvements on the track at Odell Weeks? We have any money
Odell
in
Weeks,
the budget for that?
That project is was budgeted in this year's budget, and we bid that out, and we're going to, I think, commence work in about 2 weeks' time.
We've got these corporate cup games, the city corporate cup games. We're trying to get those in, and then they'll start. The bid's been awarded, and they're going to resurface the track.
So it's about 3 weeks.
Yeah, by the middle of June, it should be done.
I'm glad we're doing it in track.
What we're going to do this time around, Ms. Diggs, you know, the roots are growing under the track.
Right.
They're actually going to put fabric down so the roots won't go under the track. They'll go another direction.
Matter of fact, the mayor walked with me on May the 3rd for the Lupus Walk. 3 miles.
Yeah, where was everyone else, by the way?
I was out of town, man.
Only 3 weeks. Gal, I had a hard time keeping up with her.
I bet you did.
We'll see you all for the Blue Night Run at Odell Weeks this year, provided it doesn't rain.
Relay for Life is Friday night.
Glenn, don't leave yet, please, sir. The exercise equipment that you put outdoors on the south end of the track is getting a lot of use, so that's well received.
Very nice.
The second thing concerns me, because I've seen a lot of kids around, is the debris that's still sitting there. Now, I understand that our philosophy is we want other people to see that we picked up everywhere else before we pick up that. And when I tell people that as I walk, they're not buying into that. They don't think that's the best.
We've got a trash can coming. We've been talking about that. We've also debated hand sanitizer. We've chosen not to put it out there, just because we offer it in the indoor facility, but out there we don't offer it at playgrounds and those kind of things. We had a request for that, but I don't think we're going to do that. Let people take care of that themselves if they want to.
But what about the debris? We got piles of debris in different spots out there.
Oh, I thought you meant debris around the.
No.
We made a request to Mr. Copeland. We've got a tennis tournament starting this Saturday.
Okay.
And he's going to have it gone by then.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
That gets a lot of conversation. As a matter of fact, I was out there 3 days this weekend. And every time I'd hear people in front of me or back of me, somebody talking about the debris sitting there. So, and I know you were doing your best to try to get it moving along. So,
it'll be gone before the tennis tournament.
Okay.
And we don't want any snakes coming out.
No.
By the way, Glenn, we want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for your last meeting here. We're going to miss you.
Thank you.
And I know you still got a
few to stay.
I know you still got a little few weeks left, but if this is indeed your last city council meeting, it's our last chance to tell you thank you. And we're grateful. I know we've done it before, but we're doing it again.
Appreciate that.
Aren't you glad?
Go ahead, Reggie.
I got just a couple. On page 190, and you've already read this out, Mr. Pierce.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
It's my understanding, going down, that major purchases include, now that we've passed the Silver Bluff Water Plant loan, everything else on there is funded in the budget. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm trying to catch up.
On page 190.
Yeah, that's accommodations tax.
Bottom of the bottom of page 190, huh?
That's accommodation.
The accommodations tax, the 485,500.
Excuse me. This in the agenda.
On your memo.
Agenda package memo.
You're talking about the vehicles, all those items.
$4,685,000
Yes, sir. That's all in the budget.
Okay. And so, from my conversations earlier on page 135, you've got $1 million from depreciation fund.
Yes, sir. That helps us balance the budget.
And that would take care of the $1 million for the meters on page 155. Because we got to fund that from somewhere.
I agree. We have to balance the budget. The meters are part of the total utility fund budget, so that depreciation is being used to fund it. Yes, sir.
Okay.
From the total budget.
Assuming that it's the Shaw Creek DPB, that's on page 149, that 450,000 on page 149 of the budget.
Yes, sir. That the actual total estimated for the project was $1,400,000. But George and I talked about that. There's no way to spend all that in 1 year. He's very encouraged that they may not have to do the DBP project at all. So that may free up money for generator purchase at Shaw's. But then there were some also about $100,000 worth of water table work.
Right.
And again, it just we'll have to see whether we need to spend it on the DBP or on the water tables instead. We would know better, we think, by the time of the November utility rate review that council has requested.
I just wanted to be sure everything at the bottom of page 190 in the agenda package is covered, and it sounds like it is.
Yes, sir, it is. It's in this balanced budget we presented.
Thank you.
Page 98, to Best Friends Express. We give them $15,000. I think, as I understand it, we give that to the COG, Council of Governments. And
yes.
I got to tell you, they don't give a lot of that back to the Council on Aging, who runs the program. Is there any opportunity for us to give it to directly the Council on Aging?
I mean, it's subject to council's vote. We've tried to support the program since they operate within the city limits, and that's money that they've requested. And
yeah, I mean, last time I talked to Scott Murphy, and if you want to give him a call and you're happy, that's fine. But I was left with the impression they don't. That there's some money taken off the top of that for cog operations.
I'm sure.
You know, and it's such a valuable service.
Well, let me just say with the cog. That council government services a lot of these areas. That $50,000 is not a lot of money, considering the people that they serve with transportation needs. And before we start cutting, I'd like to hear from Linda, is that Basham, who is the executive director.
Well, that's right.
Before we start cutting her budget, because she's been cut by the state, and. If everybody starts cutting, then we are really hampering some transportation needs here.
I wasn't talking about cutting. I was talking about just eliminating the middleman, but I have no qualms about what you're saying.
But I thought that Scott got money. Well, he has his own fleet of vehicles,
mm-hmm.
And I thought that was meeting his needs in terms of his fleet that he has.
And again, I can follow up with him to confirm that or whatever we need to do. I'm just hearing about this for the first time, so I'll be glad to follow up.
This first time we're talking about the budget, so. Character education, do we do that monthly?
Monthly, we take a break in July and August and December.
It's about 8 months, I think.
Yes,
I just wondered if we could maybe look at that quarterly because of the man hours that it takes. I mean, if you get 50 people show up, that's about, 100, close to 100, 150 man hours?
We get more than 50.
For you?
Usually.
Yeah. Just a thought. For quarterly, just a thought. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of buying a snow plow and a sand spreader. If FEMA wants to buy it for us and give us the money,
yes, sir,
I'm okay.
That could come out of the FEMA grant money. that we have in the budget.
Then I go back to my comment that I'd rather wait until we have the FEMA money before we purchase that stuff.
Yes, sir. We would not purchase it until we had the money in hand. That's absolutely right.
Okay.
It's more of a discretionary purchase, so if we have the funds, we can do it. If we don't, we can still operate the city.
And the other thing is, don't look at it for this year, but maybe next year, could we get an index on the front of this thing that says public services is on page 61 and public safety on 85 or something?
Yes, sir.
The colored documents are okay, but and that's all the questions I have.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments or questions? We've got a motion and a second for approval. So show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Then item four, first reading of an ordinance to approve the Aiken County Hazards Mitigation Plan. Mr. Pierce.
Mayor, thank you very much. This question came up because FEMA provides a credit for having a natural hazard mitigation plan in place. We had been operating under the 2005 ordinance that adopted the mitigation plan, and when we checked our records, we realized that the 2011 Aiken County Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan had not been adopted by ordinance by council. So that's why tonight we have an ordinance to adopt the Aiken County Hazard Mitigation Plan prepared by the Lower Savannah Council on Governments. And again, the full mitigation plan is about 200 pages. Mr. DeWar asked for a hard copy. I've got a hard copy here that we can have with the clerk. But we did provide a link for council to address it. We didn't incur the expense of running 1,500 pages. But we do have in the agenda the items that relate to the City of Aiken operations, and you will see from those materials that the City of Aiken did participate in the preparation of this document. So for council consideration tonight is first reading of this ordinance.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
I assume.
Second? Anybody?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, it's an interesting plan. It's never come before council. I think there, as I looked at it, there two of our public safety people represented the city with the county, and the county approved it. I don't know whether this is supposed to be the plan that we have to prepare for an ice storm or a tornado or a hurricane. Pretty generalized.
It is, Mr. Duarte. Again, council did adopt an ordinance in 2005 to operate under the plan. Our emergency preparedness plan is done in tandem with that, and it's been updated in 2011. So this is the ordinance just to adopt the amended, updated version. We do need this in place for us to apply for the mitigation funds from the state.
Well, that seems to be about its only purpose, I guess. I mean, we don't do anything based on this plan, do we?
It is something that we refer back to when we update and prepare our emergency preparedness plan, because it has several sections that talk about natural hazards.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We've got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Okay, petitions and requests. Item one, requests from Councilmember DeWar regarding the water bill accounts.
It's actually two issues that I have, and I'm not sure I want to get into too many details with the individual. I received a call regarding a late payment, and the person who experienced a problem, asked some questions and so forth, and was told that, and I think I'm talking correctly, and if I'm not, I hope staff will bail me out, but that we could waive that late penalty if you had four conditions. One was you have to be over 62, and I can't find my paper here, but you have to be over 62. Oh, here we are. No, they're not listed. You have to be over 62. You have to be a permanent resident. You have to be on fixed income.
and the water bill has to be greater than $350. And I thought, boy, that's not going to fit a lot of people. I've been here 10 years. I've never had a $350 water bill. And, I mean, that's kind of a policy that ought to help the less fortunate in our community. And I mean, I don't care what age you are. Age shouldn't matter. Fixed income, you can have a $100,000 retirement check and Social Security, and you're on fixed income. So, I mean, I'd like to think that staff could have the judgment to waive a late fee, given that we may be talking about a customer that's been with us for 10 years or 20 years and has never had a late fee, and something went wrong and so forth. So I just wanted to bring that up to council. It's just it's a policy that, and again, I don't know the entire policy, and if Kim is here, she can probably bring me up to speed, but it just doesn't. She's coming to educate me as usual.
Yeah. I would agree that it needs to be looked at.
It does, but again, I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about, but reacting to a telephone call.
I'm a little confused because you said late fee, but then you recited like pieces of our leak allowance policy.
Which allowance?
Leak allowance. A late fee is added on the 20th. To any balance that's left unpaid. If the balance is under $40, the late fee is $1. If the balance is over $40, it's 10% of the entire balance due. Now, late fees, we do have some discretion. If you say, you know, I mailed my payment and you didn't get it on time, we do allow one late fee adjustment per customer, and we mark that on their account. Now, you say, well, I've lived here 34 years, and I've been late twice. Well, you know, we do look at that and go, well, it has been 10 years since we marked that on your account.
Okay.
But we have the ability to go back to March 4th, 1996, and have history. If you've been at the same address since then, we could have that history if we gave you a late fee adjustment in 1998.
So, well, what policy does this...
Okay, then I was going to talk about the leak allowance.
Yeah.
There's two pieces to that. There's the senior citizen, okay, and those are, in our policy, defined as 62. Now, some might say 55, 60, 65. We defined it as 62 on a fixed income. And if they have a leak and they bring in the documentation to prove that their leak at their home, this is not a business, this is not a rental house, this is their home, okay, has been repaired, then we'll calculate that leak allowance based on what their average would have been for the preceding 3 months and half the difference of the leak. So if the leak resulted in, say, a $100 bill, okay, the person is over 62, they're on a fixed income, and we don't get all into your business. If you tell me you're on a fixed income, they're not going to say how much. You know, if you tell me you're on a fixed income and you're a senior citizen, this is your home, and you prove that you've gotten it repaired, then we'll calculate your consumption average, but I'm going to use dollars just because it's going to make it easier. If your average was $50 and this month was $100, then we're going to give you an adjustment of $25. We split the difference. Half the city writes off and half you pay.
Okay.
Now, if someone is not a senior citizen, if they have a leak that resulted in over $350, water portion only. So that is a very substantial leak, okay? Then we would basically do an adjustment. Once they get it repaired, and they have to prove to us that it's been repaired, it has to be their home, not a business or a rental house, something like that, then they're going to pay that $350, and then we'll split the difference over that. So if it was a $500 water bill, they're going to pay the $350 plus $75. Right, that's half of the $150.
But what if they're... Okay, so it only applies if the bill was at least $350.
Yes, sir.
No.
If you're a senior citizen on fixed income...
I mean, under senior citizen, I...
It could be that your normal water bill is $22, and you had a leak, and your bill was $30. If you come to us, and you're a senior citizen on fixed income at your home, and you have the receipt that you repaired the bill, that $8, we're going to give you a difference, which will be $4.
Correct.
Okay. The $350 comes into play if you're not a senior citizen.
And what is the $350 again? That's got to be the amount of the bill or the amount of the leak.
And again, this is something we can take a look at. It's helpful to have council's input.
Right.
That's the existing policy. It's something we can always review.
Well, it might be okay. I'm sorry I was vague, but I, okay. And the other issue I had was, are we having problems with, we had the business, and I think...
We did. Yeah. We had a problem, if I may.
We have
a problem with the meter. It was stuck. We replaced it and had problems with that meter, and it was stuck. And we now have a third meter, and it appears to be working. That's the good news. So we want to take a look at what we see in the next couple of months to see if any adjustments going to be appropriate.
Yeah, because it crushed the heat, like, I don't know.
It did. It more than doubled.
Yeah,
It's shocking.
So we'll go back and deal with that.
Yes, sir. This meter's working, and we're going to monitor it. It's just been one of those situations where we fixed one thing, and then there was another.
Yeah.
If you put the new style meter in, you won't have that problem.
Right.
Nice and 1 inch.
Right.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Item two, then, is a request from Councilman Ebner to end the city making state of emergency.
Mr. Pearson, I discussed that, and I concur with his opinion. So essentially, it'll self-destruct in 6 months.
Yes, sir. We're under the pilot project, so it goes from February 10. That'll take us through August.
Okay. The three piles, separate question, and it might be Mr. Coakley. You have three piles out at Powder House now.
We do.
And those... all going to get shredded? Or, I mean, there's different stuff, obviously, in different piles.
Well, he's got some piles that have some plastic bags in it. We're not going to shred that.
Right by the road, there's two piles that have showed up. A lot of leaves and pine needles.
There's several piles out there at Powder House. We windrowed it, you know, per the fire department specifications.
And DHEC and FEMA requirements.
Exactly. We worked a lot with our fire guys to make sure it was what they needed out there. The last pile, the one nearest to the road that you're seeing, is going to the landfill. That's stuff we backhauled there so we could meet the timeliness of our customers.
Okay.
You know, it was quicker for me to haul in there than it was for me to go all the way to Graniteville. And the guys were already working 14, 15-hour days trying to get back on schedule. So, and like today they worked till 8 o'clock. The landfill closed at 4. So I hauled into that same pile from 4 to 8.
I was to be sure we didn't get... I've been through three FEMA presentations, so now I'm an expert, of course.
Good job.
And one of the things that they told us when I met with the POA is, you know, you're not picking up leaves and pine needles, though they don't count. So I just want to be sure that we had them separated out.
That's why we're keeping it separate.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay. All right.
I just had one quickie. I noticed reading the Environmental Committee meeting minutes there, the minutes reflect that they're still not clear on what Cliff Day is going to look like next year, and I know we're getting the younger folks involved in that. Are they going to work with that committee to structure this thing?
They are, and we actually had a face-to-face meeting, and it was very productive. They have a lot of ideas. They actually want to move it downtown to the Newberry Street Festival Center. And what we looked at were, you know, we always do best when we kind of start out focused and then add on to.
Sure.
They kind of wanted to do a lot of things. But I think the discussion went very well, and they're going to come back with some proposals on how to do the new improved Earth Day.
Okay.
So yeah, they are working on that.
Yeah, they've got plenty of time.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. Adjourn. Good meeting.
What?
How'd you graduate today?
That's my break, but they gave me for my birthday.
She looks like she likes the camera.
Oh, loves it. Loves it. Absolutely love it.
All right, so we'll set Hudson's head move here.